Hello and welcome to the Film and Loathing podcast for Sunday, October 17th, 2021. This is episode number 116, and I'm Jake.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Zach.
Coming up this week, we got a review of Halloween Kills. We'll also talk some other stuff that we watched and whatever else comes up along the way. So as always, thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. Glad to have you with us. How are you both doing this week?
Well, we've come full circle. The show started, well, I guess we started with First Man, but week number two was review of David Gordon Green's Halloween, and here we are with a review of the sequel to David Gordon Green's Halloween.
Fun stuff.
Safe to say we can stop now.
I was about to say this. Good enough episode to call it, right?
You're going to stop before the trilogy ends?
That's true. We have to wait till Halloween ends.
Yeah, there's one more. Tris, you watched this movie, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but they end sad. Every, like, they've never finalized Michael Myers, so, I mean, like...
That's not true. In Halloween H2O, he gets his head cut off.
Chris, this is,
does
like...
Does he come back?
Chris, yes. This is the epitome.
Yeah, okay.
Chris, this movie is the epitome of an in-betweener.
Dude.
You ain't lying.
Like the definition of a movie just building up to some conclusion.
But like, what conclusion could this possibly be building to?
Either Jamie Curtis or Michael Myers is gonna die, or both.
Okay, but I thought you had said once upon a time that this was the last movie that Jamie Lee Curtis was in.
Allegedly, it was, but I guess she was referring to like this trilogy of movies is the last time she's going to play Laurie Strode on screen.
Oh, okay, so she was being cryptic, as in the next movie she's not Laurie Strode.
She becomes Michael Myers.
Halloween Ends will be it for her. She said these movies are the last time I will play Laurie Strode, referencing the fact that there's still one more to come.
I got you. I hope she becomes Michelle Myers.
I don't know why she would not want to play Laurie Strode anymore. You got a moneymaker, right? You roll with that. You ride it till it dies, baby.
I guarantee that she's made more money doing Activia commercials than these movies.
These three? Like these three?
Yeah.
I bet she's made a fuck ton doing this.
Let's look it up.
I don't know about a fuck ton. The budget for this movie is only $20 million.
I was just going to say... The budget for these movies is not, like, super high, so okay. Like, there's no way most of that money is going to Jamie Lee Curtis. I guarantee she's made more money doing Activia commercials than these movies.
Oh, man, she made more money from one of the biggest yogurt brands in the nation? Ooh, weird.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but you're saying these are moneymakers for her, and I was like, I doubt that.
I don't know about that, man. I mean, let's say she makes... $50,000, right?
I can tell you, for the first movie specifically, she did not make anything until profits from the movie came in.
Was her pay based off of profits?
I would assume for that one. Or she is decided not to take a paycheck until the movie was successful, and then they paid her more.
That's an interesting idea for a contract.
It happens all the time.
It's a smart move for a contract.
Yeah,
it's just weird.
Like, we'll give you $2 million now, or if the movie is like super successful, we'll give you. If the movie comes out, we make all of our money back and then some. We'll pay you 30% more than we initially agreed upon. Oh, okay, yeah, I'll do that. And then the movie comes out, and you made more money.
Just I don't understand how they would find that value, like how they find the dollar amount. That seems interesting to me. Like, what makes them come up with, like, a certain percentage? Like, I know they have to come up with it beforehand or else there's a lot of...
It's probably, like, stipulated in, like, the Actors Guild
or something. Oh, I'm sure there's, like, some sort of metric, but I'm just curious what...
And it's a way to not, like, eat up your budget just simply by paying people to be there. You can put that money into the movie, and then if the movie becomes successful, you just pay them all off the back end of what you made.
Hang them off the profit. I'm not saying I don't get it. I'm just saying, like, I'm curious about how it functions and, like, where they get the numbers.
Do you know the movie made Arnold Schwarzenegger the most amount of money?
No, T2.
Twins.
With Danny DeVito?
Because it was the only movie that he said he would do no salary and would just do a cut of the profits. And it made like $200+ million.
Oh my fucking gosh.
And it's a masterpiece of a movie.
So that was the most they'd made off a movie.
Good for
you. It happens. Yeah, that happens way more often than you think.
Those things that like studios would stop offering that to people. Hey, if we don't get them to like just take amount of money now, we're gonna have to potentially pay them a hell of a lot more.
Well, it's like what, 20% of some huge number? So I mean, like the studio still wins out.
I
wouldn't want to pay them my profits.
I would, depending on who it was. Like if I was paying Laurie Strode from the Halloween series, I feel like that's a relatively good investment, but I'm not going to do fucking, I don't know, some random Joe Schmo from some movie. Like if Leo wanted to do that deal, I'm in a heartbeat.
If Leo wants to take the profits deal?
Sure.
That's a terrible bet because you know that movie's going to make a ton of money. You're not offering that to him.
If it's a franchise, I'm doing what I can.
Sell him out more money than you probably have to.
Yeah, but then I'm guaranteeing if it's, it has any franchise ability to make those moves because he's more likely to opt into a second movie.
Can you imagine at that point. If it was Leo was like, James Cameron comes to him, he's like, hey, we're doing this movie Titanic. I can give you $500,000 to be in this movie, or you can take 10% of our profits. And it's like, congratulations, you just paid Leonardo DiCaprio $100
million. $1 million, yeah.
So basically, you're telling me that the less movie, the less money the movie makes, the better of a deal that is for the studio.
Absolutely. It's the less money they have to shell out that they don't have to.
All right.
If they can agree to get Robert Downey Jr. to make Iron Man 4 by paying him $6 million rather than 10% of whatever the profits are, that's a better deal for the studio.
I see. I see your point. I understand.
How much money do you think Jamie Lee Curtis makes from Activia commercials? Google it.
Probably a cool couple million.
Oh!
A year?
No, I mean, I don't see any Activia commercials on TV anymore. Then again, I don't really have cable, so.
You're not watching the home network channel.
Why do I care what Jamie Lee Curtis weighs? That's a weird thing.
Yeah, that is weird.
Yeah, I wasn't asking myself that same question the entire movie, but whatever.
Like, damn, how much does this bitch weigh?
My fucking gosh.
I can't find a dollar amount, but it does say that Jamie Lee Curtis was telling lies about Activia, and they had to settle a suit because someone sued them.
What kind of lies is she telling?
That person made $21 million, so.
What kind of lies is she telling?
I don't know.
Something about his probiotics or some shit.
Now I'm curious.
So, Activia claims to speed up intestinal transit, which that only seems to be true in elderly subjects, not in everyone.
This thing didn't make me poop as quick as I wanted to.
So, in truth, so it was shown that eating Activia daily is not proven to relieve temporary irregularity, which is what Activia was claiming.
I see. Oh, and that person was not having regular movements.
What situation were they in that made them able to get $21 million?
They've stockpiled Activia. They just had fridges of Activia.
Oh, apparently they weren't sued by an individual. They were sued by the FTC.
Oh, that's different. Which is
the Federal Trade Commission.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's different.
I was about to say, one like, they have like 80 fridges in their garage.
Yeah, I'm just thinking like some person that just eats a Big Mac every day and then they're like trying to eat Activia to shit and they're not.
I haven't pooped in 5 days.
Have you seen that video on wherever the fuck it is? That the guy that he eats a Big Mac every day, and he's collected all of his like Big Mac containers.
Disgusting.
Okay. I thought he like has them in something his house. Else because we've been talking about poop. I thought you'd say he's been collecting his just shit in jars.
No. He's like kept all of his Big Mac boxes that they've come in.
That's gross, dude.
He said he's had like one a day for like 30 years or something like that. Something
how
crazy.
Is he not dead?
That's literally what I thought.
How do you not? How do you still enjoy them at this point?
Oh, also a good question.
I think that guy in like Super Size Me that wants to eat a Big Mac at every McDonald's location.
Yeah, it's like fucked.
They're like they're constantly popping up. Like there's no way you'll ever be able to achieve that goal.
For sure.
McDonald's are coming up faster than you can eat your Big Macs.
How much is it to buy a McDonald's franchise?
You have to have $1 million in your bank account beyond the cost of the chain itself.
Really?
Yeah.
And they're getting serious.
Chick-fil-A, I think you only have to have like $20,000, $50,000, something like that.
What if I wanted to buy a Harvest Moon deli?
Probably a little bit cheaper than that.
$200-$300.
I know that like Olive Garden won't allow you to open a restaurant unless like consumer reports show that in that area they can make $1 million a year.
Oh my gosh. $1 million a year?
Not like in straight profit, but like in revenue.
Well, yeah.
That's a lot of fettuccine Alfredo.
I can't imagine really. They're spending
one thing like of fettuccine Alfredo is like $24.
That's still a lot.
And it's still probably the same quality they had like 10 years ago when it cost like $15.
Dude. Well, that's just the start one, right?
Like they don't have to maintain like that. Constantly deals with food shortages and distribution centers being out of things. I can tell you, Chris, that it's not that simple.
I'm not saying it's that simple. Like, I'm not saying that, like, I understand why prices fluctuate on meals. Like, I completely get that. I'm just saying that, like, is it significant enough to require a $9 increase on a meal that used to be $15?
Probably, yeah.
I have a hard time believing that.
Well, okay, well, let's look at this. In the last 4 years, there's been a $5 increase just in minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
So that automatically makes your product more expensive.
Why? Like, I understand that, like,
that
it makes
preparing it costs more.
That was a bad
more.
Question. That was a bad question. I completely understand. But when you have a menu that says at least three. Yes. Very prestigious. I'm just saying, like, $9 is a hefty increase. That's almost. That's like 75%.
Okay, well, you're also accepting this at face value that fettuccine Alfredo cost $24 when I just pulled that number out of my ass.
I mean, I'm just arguing based off the numbers that we have on the table. I'm not arguing on any actual like reality.
Also, good food costs money, you know what I mean?
Mm. Love it.
You gotta pay for that quality.
Breadsticks, though. I could eat like an entire fucking basket.
Yeah.
How come Harvest Moon Deli doesn't have garlic sticks?
Because you just answered your own question. We're a deli.
So? How come you don't have big garlic
like
sandwiches?
Like Harvest Moon Deli, why don't you guys have hamburgers? Like, why don't you guys serve hot dogs? Like, because we're a
why
fucking deli. Like,
you have a veggie burger.
Dude, I thought a hot dog was a sandwich. It's meat between
hot
bread.
Is not a sandwich.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's meat between bread. It sounds like a sandwich to me.
Oh my gosh. You have a veggie burger, but you won't have a regular burger?
We get veggie burgers frozen.
And they're good.
Well, you're selling veggie burgers, but not regular burgers?
Okay. It is literally impossible to poison someone with one of our veggie burgers. It would be entirely possible to poison someone who doesn't know how to tempt meat properly and make them cook burgers.
Oh,
Veggie burgers are good as shit, though. I don't know what kind of cheese you put on that, but it's gooey every time.
Pepper jack.
That's the shit. That's the fucking shit.
Yeah, we gotta start talking. We gotta start talking Halloween Kills before Chris gets all excited.
Veggie burgers. Fuck yeah.
All right, well, let's get into Halloween Kills here. Directed by David Gordon Green, stars Jamie Lee Curtis, Judy Greer, and Andy Matichak. And the plot synopsis is, the saga of Michael Myers and Laurie Strode continues in the next thrilling... Okay, that's an ridiculous plot synopsis, but what did you guys think of Halloween Kills?
Well...
Bad.
As the Halloween fan that I am, I watched it twice, and I like
super fan.
It's pretty disappointing. Like I don't like that I know that there's a trilogy, because it makes this movie feel even more pointless, and it's just so clear that this is just a movie that's just filling space. There's nothing that's really accomplished here. There's nothing that's moves anything forward. It really is just like stagnant, and is just made to put something out to tease an ending.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most disappointing part.
Yep. Look, I think what the whole movie takes place over the span of 2 hours.
Maybe four at most.
This could have been a real-time movie.
Maybe it is. We don't know.
That would have been cool. So I guess I'm at a disadvantage where I've had no time to really reflect on it. I'm like an
hour.
What
is there to reflect on?
Well, I don't know. Like, you're coming to all these conclusions, which I probably would have naturally come off of. But now I'm just, like, wrapped up on the highs of people getting killed and things like that. Which I got to say, I guess there's not really that many memorable kills or anything that made me go like ooh or ooh.
There's one
good.
There's some good ones. Kills, yeah.
Like, what's a good one?
When he kicks that door, that girl is like trying to like shoot him, and he kicks the door so it hits her hand, and the gun swings back, and she shoots herself.
You're right. That one was good. That made me chuckle.
That's pretty sick. I mean, the whole firefighter sequence, house on fire stuff, like that was a truly like thrilling scene. But other than that, I don't think there's any other like
scene that really meets that. I thought the house with the firefighters was a bit of a wet noodle. They really built that up in the trailer, and I thought it ended pretty quickly. Didn't really get a lot.
It just was like basic killing, which I get. Like, Michael Myers isn't really one for flair, but like, it would have been nice to see a little bit more like interesting deaths, because like everybody seemed to have died the same way except for one person.
It's like
the big thing is always, okay, well, if there was a bunch of people, Michael Myers would be an easy target, because he always targets like one-on-ones and he just takes them out. But like, this is like Michael Myers versus a group of people. How does he fight in a group setting? And I think this like shows that he's still an unstoppable force. Even in a group setting.
The thing that's always bothered me about this, and across all kinds of movies, is like when you have a group of people, like, wouldn't it be realistic to expect that all of the people converge on somebody? Instead of it's always like you have a group of people and then like one person comes forward and then they get killed, and then like another person steps forward and they get killed until all the group is killed, instead of like everybody collectively mobbing them. You see that all the time in any movie that involves groups fighting scenes.
Are we still talking about the firefighter scene in the beginning, or are we just jumping right to that scene at the end? At the end?
Yeah.
I have such a problem with that scene, because there's such an easy solution that I feel like people who are making this movie are completely ignoring. And it is... They are putting themselves in a technological standstill with Mike Myers, because they are using blunt objects to bash him when there are so many other weapons you could use. You could be using, okay, a fucking sword, first off. Michael Myers could use that to his advantage, but, like, you could use a fucking gun.
Yeah, we got swords that are ready.
Do you know how many scenes there are in these movies of Michael Myers being shot, like, countless times and still, like, coming back to life? Like,
yes, because he falls to the ground and they stop there. Like, do you know how many adults in the United States probably have AR-15s where they could just go to him and just... And then once he's down on the ground, you don't stop. And you just go to his head and just... Yeah, and you just go until there's nothing left.
I mean, I can agree with what you're saying. But I think the movie's response to that is what Jamie Lee Curtis is saying in her voiceover during that scene.
Is that he's pure evil, blah, blah, blah.
Which is that it does not matter what you do to his body. He is always going to be here.
Yes, maybe in, like, presence. Like the idea of Mike Myers will always be there. But physically, he doesn't always need to be there.
One thing that I did like about the movie, which they don't necessarily touch on a lot, it's pretty surface level, but I mean, at least it's a little bit of a mix up for these movies, is the idea of that Michael Myers has haunted Hayden Field for so long that people have sort of lived in this repressed fear, and now it's finally come to a head. And
so I have a problem with that aspect of the movie. Which is that seemingly comes out of nowhere, because in the last movie, like, no one really buys into, like, Michael Myers. They're all just kind of like, oh, that's a story from 40 years ago. Like, it's no big deal. And now we're supposed to believe that they've all lived in this repressed fear of Michael Myers, where, like, literally in the previous movie, it's shaken off as it's not a big deal. It's just one guy that murdered some babysitters 40 years ago. Like, This is the inevitable problem of ignoring 8 movies in between these, which is, like, the mythos of Michael Myers doesn't exist, but yet they're trying to use the mythos of Michael Myers that they've completely ignored. And so you're saying the only movie that counts before these is the 1978 version. And in the 1978 version, he's not pure evil. He's not. He is a man that murders some babysitters. And then we jump forward to the 2018 version, and he's a man that murdered some babysitters that's now, like, gets loose and is on the run. And no one really takes that seriously. But now we get to this movie, and it's like, Michael Myers has haunted this town for 40 years, and we all live in fear because of him. And it's like, no, you didn't. You all, like, shook off his threat literally in the movie previous to this. Like,
you all called Jamie Lee Curtis crazy for what she was doing.
She was insane, and that she was dumb for doing what she does. And
it's
like,
true,
now I have to believe this. And it's like, fuck you, Tommy Doyle.
Did you rewatch Halloween? Yes. Like the one from 2018?
Yeah.
I guess that's a problem. Like, there definitely seemed like it was a simply picking up the pieces of where it left off, and there's kind of a lot that I had forgotten, so I'm sure that also played a factor with not really remembering any of these things. I kind of remember them now that you bring them up, that she was sort of a laughing stock of the town. I guess her own children, her own daughter and granddaughter sort of shrugged her off too.
Like, Michael Myers is just that scary story that you tell because it happened in your town. There's nothing in these movies that leads me to believe that, like, he is this curse that your town hasn't shaken, because no one in the movie acts that way. Until this one, where they have to.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. That's a good point. I definitely wish there was more Laurie, though, for sure. The fact that she's just sort of resigned to a hospital bed the entire movie is a bit of a disappointment. And it's just sort of these, like, gung-ho people that we're now sort of following throughout it.
I think that makes it interesting if they stuck to the idea, because tell me if I'm wrong. Historically, Michael Myers, what his main goal is to go after Laurie Strode, correct? Like, that's his endgame?
Okay. That gets very complicated, because there's a lot to explain that is ignored by these movies.
And what's, like, the what's being omitted from this movie?
So the big thing that's being omitted that this movie is trying to dance around, which is that in Halloween 2, they confirm that Lori is Michael Myers' sister. And that's why he's coming after her. But this movie ignores Halloween 2. So now they're coming up with all these reasons like, no, Lori, you don't understand. He's not after you. It's the doctor that brought him to your house. Like, now they have to come up with all these superficial reasons as to why Michael Myers is after Lori, which in this movie, I would say, like, it's clear that he's not. Like,
no, he's not at all. He just wants to go home.
Which is, like, which muddies, like, what Michael Myers is. Like, it muddies his motivation. Like, why is he killing all these people? Like, by ignoring 7 movies that have built up to this or have built something, like, I think it's creating more problems than it solves on the surface.
Well, sadly, something like when you think of like all the movies that come before, like, you as an audience viewer, a majority of the people have seen them all. So all these people are carrying in baggage, and you're sort of essentially being asked to ignore all that.
Like, it completely ignores, like, the Cult of Thorn from Halloween, like, 4, 5, and 6, which is what those movies are about, which is, like, supposedly... So Halloween 4, 5, and 6 is known as the Thorn Trilogy, and it's... Supposedly, there's a cult that, when Michael Myers was born, they, like, put a curse on him, and the curse is that he has to murder his whole family, and so that's why he does what he's doing in all of these movies.
Okay.
And he's constantly, like, chasing down his family members because he's not acting as himself. It's this curse that's been put on him.
I feel like ignoring the Cult of Thorn is completely fine considering it's in Halloween 5 and 6.
I'm not saying that they should bring it back. What I'm saying is, like, at least in those movies, they're attempting to provide you with a reason as to why this man does what he does. Whereas in this movie, I don't understand Michael Myers' motivations at all.
Wasn't it just supposed to be that he's just a pure threat of evil? There is no motivation? It's just evil, acting evil into the world?
But that's fucking boring. Like, in the
past movie, it definitely seems like he's after Laurie Strode, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, he goes to Laurie Strode's house, and then I'm supposed to assume that he just gets up out of the fire and is just like, oh, I guess I'm done with that.
Like... It feels like they didn't even watch their own movie when they made the sequel to it. Because they're going against so much of what they set up already.
Yeah.
Like, in the one from 2018, it's pretty reasonable to say that, like, yes, he's after Laurie Strode. Or at least we as an audience are believed that he is after Laurie Strode. Uh-huh. And in this one, it's like, we don't really know what he's doing. He's just kind of walking around killing people.
Well, he's trying to go back to his Myers residence, right? Though that seems to be a mystery why he wants to go there so badly.
I hated all of that stuff.
Like, the idea of, like, him, like, not him looking out on Haydenfield, but looking at his reflection in the window.
God, that was so stupid. Like, yes, the Cult of Thorn is silly, and it's ridiculous, and it's absurd, and it makes no fucking sense. But at least you can look at that and be like, oh, okay, yeah, I see what you're doing. That makes sense. It makes enough sense that I'm fine with that being his motivation. Whereas here, it's like, he just wants to go home and look in the window, bud. Leave him alone.
He's homesick.
And like,
yeah, I feel
this
like...
This movie, it seems to be saying that if we all just got out of his way and let him go home, he wouldn't kill anybody. But because we feel the need to, like, just, like, keep tracking him down and, like, attack him first, that's the only reason he's killing.
Yeah, I was going to say, there definitely seems to be this shift of, like, making Michael Myers this empathetic character.
Which would completely annul the fact that he is an entity of pure evil.
Right. Like, I don't know, maybe this was just me, but, like, there seemed to be a moment when he's, like, getting the shit beat out of him at the end of the movie by all those groups of people. You're kind of almost like, I don't know, for me, for a moment, it kind of made, I thought the movie was trying to make you feel the slightest bit bad for this person. I don't know. Maybe that was just me getting a weird, like, just reading it wrong. But that's what I had gotten. I don't know. I don't know if it was like a music cue or something. It just felt that way.
The one thing that, like,
I hear violins and, like, soft piano when Michael comes on screen.
This was, like, speaking of, like, music cues and trying to make you feel bad, like, the scene that I fucking rolled my eyes at the hardest was when there's that other escaped person, like, in the hospital, and they're all, like, chasing after him, like, trying to kill him, and it's like, are you, like, Tommy Doyle, you stupid motherfucker, like, you've had an interaction with him this very night. Does that look like the same fucking guy that you had a run-in with 45 minutes ago?
I was like, saying, are you, like,
kidding me?
That dude's like 5'11 at best, and Mike Myers is like 6'3.
Not to mention, like, he's 6'3, 6'4, lean as fuck, and has a mask. And this guy's this pudgy little, like, fucking wormtail looking motherfucker, and you're like, that's the guy. That's the fucking guy. Like, it makes no sense. Like,
height difference. Like, that's what the crazy thing is, that, like, he has never seen Mike Myers in person, right? Up to that point,
he's never seen his face.
I thought he'd never seen, like, him in general. The only person, like, to come in contact with him was, like, that little kid that was like, don't touch me, Michael.
I also hate that as, like, the justification. Well, it's like, are you sure that's him? Like, well, he's always wearing a mask. It's hard to tell. And it's like, you can't tell from physical fucking stature that that's not the same guy, like, because you have never seen his face.
There's literally a foot differential between these two people, and you're having a hard time distinguishing whether one is Mike Myers and the other isn't.
Well, it might be. I don't know. I guess. I get what they're doing, which is like the mob mentality of, like, once it takes over and there's no stopping it. But, like, that to me was just the dumbest thing that could have happened.
I would have been more interested in Mike Myers, like, actually being interested in Laurie Strode, realizing she's still alive, and then going straight to the hospital to fucking offer.
Well, that's the one thing that I disliked too, was like her and the sheriff, like, being in the same hospital room. They're like, I'm responsible for this evil. And it's like, no, I'm responsible for this evil. And it's like, who cares? Like when it boils down to it, neither of you are responsible for this.
Some dude is literally out there murdering people, and you're sitting in a room arguing about who's to blame for this guy out there literally murdering people.
No, I'm the worst person. No, it's me. I'm telling you, I'm the worst person.
I was not expecting Jim Cummings, though.
I know. I love that. Cool.
That was a pleasant surprise.
I do like that scene, like all the flashback to 1978 stuff. Like, I don't like that it's them trying to, like, retrofit this new narrative into the original movie, but I do like how they did it, and kind of like the same kind of like long takes, like sweeping stuff through streets the same way that, like, John Carpenter did, and it seemed like they were trying to, like, really emulate John Carpenter's style when they were doing that. But yeah, the whole, like, that whole scene of the kid shooting the cop when he tried to shoot Mike, like, I don't care about any of that.
Yeah, I'm with
you. Especially since he's in the movie for, like, a total of 5 minutes in the older one. It just kind of, there better be a payoff for that in the third one, or else it was all for naught in the second.
I think you just, like, summed up the biggest problem, like, with the movie, which is, like, this movie does nothing, and so you're left being like, well, the third one better pay off all of this stuff, or this is going to be disappointing, where it's like, I feel like each Halloween movie that you watch, you should get the feeling that, like, okay, maybe this is the one where we get some kind of resolution, but knowing that you're not getting any resolution, and that it's just prolonging things to get to the third part of this trilogy, like, that's the most disappointing part.
Yeah. I guess the real surprise was that what's her name, Karen, she gets it at the end.
See, I was unclear about that. Like, I was unclear whether she actually died or not, or whether that was just part of this, like, whole thing.
Oh, I thought she was dead for sure.
She died. Is looking in there, and she sees Michael's reflection. And then, like, I don't know. Like, I don't think that plays very, like, literally.
You don't think so?
It didn't seem that way.
I mean, maybe the whole movie literal, up to that.
It just didn't seem that way.
I mean, the whole movie up to that point was literal. So it just kind of seems...
Except that the very scene prior to it plays... It seems as though that doesn't play literally either. Because it's so heavily stylized with what they're doing.
Well, yeah, I would say before that.
Where they're, like, fighting him, and then he fights back, and, like, it's all shot against, like, black with, like, a single light, and it's, like, none of that plays realistically.
Really? I thought that he really did fight back and killed all those people.
Well, I'm not saying he didn't, but I'm saying, like, the way that it's presented to you, it doesn't play as if it's in the real world.
Mm. Yeah, the only thing I was confused about was that she was at the...
Bless you.
Is that she, like, went up into the window to look out. But I was kind of confused with the timeline of when that would have happened.
Well, it would have been immediately after.
So I guess it's kind of weird because she, like, what, goes up and, like, wouldn't notice, like, looking down that all those people are dead and that Michael Myers has disappeared?
That's fair, yeah, but...
So I guess it is a point, like, okay, so maybe...
Well, no, okay, so she, because she, when they lure him to where all those guys are, she runs away from the house, so the house isn't overlooking where he was being murdered.
Oh, that's true. Good point.
I don't know, I was expecting, right, like, that to unveil some kind of, like, stinger that, like, gets you to the next movie, but no, it's literally just, like, she looks, and then it's her own reflection, it's like... Okay. Michael Myers just wants to look at himself in the reflection. Cool.
I just want to know how they're going to do the third one. Because in the first one, we got Michael Myers versus Laurie Strode. In the second one, we got Michael Myers versus the mob. And are they just going to revert back to Michael Myers versus Laurie Strode in the third one? Or...
So I will say, I really liked the 2018 one. When that movie came out, we didn't know that there was two more. And so that movie felt like, okay, like, this could be over now. Like, that felt like a satisfying ending. And then they announced two more. And it's like, okay, I guess. And, like... I feel like this one will have to be more, like, they seem to be ramping up, so, like, they have to, like, ramp it up into something bigger for the third one. But I liked the stripped-down nature of, like, it's literally just Michael versus Laurie Strode. She has this vendetta, and, like, it's just going to be them.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I hope it's more like a Home Alone meets Halloween with the third one.
Well, we already got that.
But, like, the community's involved now. Like,
I will say, like, I don't like involving the whole town. Because it doesn't feel like something that's cursed the whole town. It feels like something that has cursed Laurie Strode.
And this is all, like, contingent on the third one picking up exactly where the second one left off. Like, continuing with that theme or that idea. Which it may not.
It's true. They do say, like, it may be tomorrow, it may be next Halloween. Like, so they could pick this one up, like, 5 years in the future.
Yeah.
And it's basically just, like, Rob Zombie's version of Halloween. The town really is cursed, and everyone's just, like, grungy and dirty and swearing.
Danny Trejo's back for some weird fucking reason.
That'd be awesome if it was 5 years from now. Lori's in a wheelchair. In a nursing home.
But she's still paranoid about Mike Myers, so she has a turret attached to one of her arms.
She has a machine gun leg?
Fuck yeah, dude.
So, I think it's Halloween Resurrection. The opening of Halloween Resurrection is, like, nobody really believes Laurie that, like, Michael is still around and she's in like a mental institute. And like Michael comes for her at this mental institute. And so like that would have been an interesting direction, but they've already ruined that with like everyone knows that Michael Myers is a real thing.
Oh gosh, yeah. He's confirmed. The community literally has gone after him. Like, I just don't understand how they would ever be able to pick up where they left off. Like, involving the community, I think creating an atmosphere around Michael Myers for the community was a great idea. Letting them act on it is where I think this movie went wrong.
Yeah, like, Michael Myers works very well as the boogeyman that people don't believe in.
Yeah.
And now that like everyone knows that he's real, like how does he possibly like stay like out of the limelight? Like why wouldn't you just constantly be searching for him?
Yeah.
Well, I guess they'll easily try to erase all of that.
The third one isn't even even attached. It's just a standalone.
Dude, I was really like, Halloween 2, for like the original Halloween 2, is so cool. Like, I mean, even in that one, like Laurie Strode's in a coma for like almost the whole movie. But like, that one is like the whole setting of the hospital and like the whole thing takes place at the hospital. Like, I was hoping that that's what this one was going to be. Like, Michael Myers coming to the hospital, like this ruthless, just killing machine, just wreaking havoc in the hospital. I thought would have been really cool. And then it didn't happen.
That's sort of what I was expecting, yeah. Instead, it's just a sad, sad boy who wants to go home.
I do really like the scene where...
He's a soft boy.
And there were things that I liked. Like, I like the scene where they're in, like, the back of that truck, and, like, the fire trucks are going towards their house, and they're, like, screaming at it, and they're like, no, no, like, let it burn.
Dude,
it's my house. Let it burn. Don't touch it. Come on.
The next Halloween movie, Michael Myers is a proud boy.
Good gosh. I don't like that you saw bits and pieces of Michael Myers' face.
I don't like that they're like being a coward about showing his face.
Mm.
Like, I don't understand like what you're trying to hide there. It's not like he's like Jason or like he's a literally deformed. He's just a regular dude.
Yeah, but I think, like, once you show his face, you can't unsee it, you know? Like, the mask has no relevancy.
If you're pointing out that, like, he's just a regular guy, then seeing him no longer, like, means anything.
Right, exactly, which is why you're not seeing him.
Yeah, you strip away that power of the mask, though, once you know what's under it.
I like the, like, showing bits and pieces like under his mask, and you just see that he's an old man, and then you're like, why can't this group of guys fight this old man?
The whole
How
entire
many
time...
times do we have to teach this lesson to you, old man?
I love the young people. One of the best lines in SpongeBob history, guaranteed. It's fucking great.
Oh, I love when the shitty boyfriend, like, gets killed. That was cool.
That smashing of just, like, his throat against the banister was crazy.
I love that Stuart is in here from Mad TV.
Big John. Little
Big
Nub.
John, Little John.
Were those supposed to be pet names? Or
Zach didn't even pick up that was Stewie from Mad TV.
I haven't seen a Mad TV skit in probably 10 years.
No. I definitely got that Big John, Little John were pet names, yes.
Okay. I didn't know if they were like in reference to something like their Halloween costumes or something, but
I mean, I do like him singing that song in his robe. That was kinda cool.
It was cool.
The like jazzy Halloween song.
I don't know, like, that's another thing. Like, if Michael Myers really does have this hold on the town and the town is cursed because of him, why the fuck would you buy and live in his house?
I think they were out-of-towners.
Like, why wouldn't that be something that's, like, condemned and torn down?
That's a good question. I don't know if you saw it, but, like,
turn to.
when they went back to the 70s and they showed the house, there was a sign out front that said Strode Realty. Realty?
Really? Really? Oh, yeah. Her dad is supposed... In the 1970 version, her dad is selling the house.
Oh, I didn't know that.
God, do you even watch these movies?
No, dude. Michael Myers is fucking terrifying.
A little piece of continuity for you. So... The guy at the hospital who's like seems like he's security at the hospital, like who used to be like Sheriff Hackett, that guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he references a moment in which Michael Myers is like his daughter is killed by Michael Myers and like desecrates her body, but he has no idea. Like it's not until Halloween 2 that his daughter is even brought into the hospital and he like realizes that she's dead. So like in the continuity of this universe, like he doesn't even know what happened to his daughter.
So he's just following mob mentality.
Oh, because they're ignoring Halloween.
Because 2. They're ignoring the movie in which he finds out like how she died. In this movie universe, like that doesn't make sense. Because he wouldn't know.
And Laurie Schreier would technically be Michael Myers' sister, too, right?
No, that's not canon anymore.
Oh, I see.
They're muddy in these waters, dude.
The Halloween 2. It's revealed to Dr. Loomis that Laurie Schreier is Michael Myers' sister.
Right, but when did they cancel that canon?
When they released Halloween, which was a direct sequel to Halloween.
Oh, I see.
Which I don't understand why it can't be a direct sequel to Halloween 2, because it would just make this so much easier. Like, it would make it so less muddled for yourself.
Yeah, and then to have, like, a connection between the two, like, it makes sense.
Like, if you want to ignore the Cult of Thorn, yeah, I get that. That's a weird thing to throw in there.
But I'm telling you,
this... Michael Myers as, like, as Laurie Strode's sister, like, I feel like that makes so much sense. And I feel like most audiences are coming into the movie like thinking that Laurie Strode is Michael's sister. And so when they're trying to explain it away, like I think that leaves a confusion where you're like the common viewer that hasn't seen these movies hundreds of times is like, wait, I thought that was his sister. Like what's going on here? Like it's been so established in pop culture that like Michael Myers is Laurie Strode's brother. Like and you're trying to like move away from that, and I think it hurts your movie more than helps it.
I think they kind of hinted at what's going to happen next, and I think it's going to be that Laurie has to die for Michael to die.
And the police officer that's in the hospital, because he's the one, he's like, I'm the one who has to end this, so he's the one who has going to have to like shoot them both down. Because like I said, that well, it has to have a payoff somewhere, right? Right, yeah, I feel like it does.
Like it definitely would have been better if there was like this mythical connection between Laurie and Michael. So therefore, like their fates are tied.
I don't know. Maybe they will bring in the Cult of Thorn in the next movie.
I fucking hope not.
Dude, watch even Halloween 4, 5, and 6. It'll all make sense to you.
Take another 6.5 hours and watch something from Michael Myers that like
it's only like 4.5 hours all three.
4.5 hours? That's still a long fucking time, dude.
Oh, grow up, you fucking baby.
I could watch like Gladiator almost twice. Which I would rather do.
Yeah, okay. The Curse of Thorn was placed on Michael Myers by Dr. Wynn in 1963. He succeeded in killing his sister Judith and later his niece, Jamie Lloyd. And so the Curse of Thorn is placed on a child by the cult leader. It commands that child to kill his entire family as a blood sacrifice to keep the cult alive. It also makes that child able to withstand serious injuries that would result in death for any normal human being. It turns the child into pure evil.
So
there you go.
I want to know how far this curse extends. Like, is it just immediate family or like?
Well, so Jamie Lloyd is Michael Myers' niece. And then in Halloween, either 5 or 6, he's chasing down Steven, who is Jamie Lloyd's baby, so that would make him like his great nephew.
So this extends a fuck ton.
And like that would be his final sacrifice.
But does basically, does it extend to marriage? Fire's good.
I'm guessing it's biological.
Biological, it doesn't need to be. Lawful marriages don't matter in the world of curses.
But it's also like, it's like once he completes the sacrifice, he himself would then die. So really, if you want to save Haddonfield, you just have to let him keep mocking off his family. These people don't die.
That's why I think it's going to be something about, like, Lori dies and then he dies.
That makes sense.
But this is definitely not going to... But I don't think this would be the last time that you see Michael Myers. This would be revised in, like, 10 years.
This is what I've talked about this with people before. Like, these kinds of movies, like... I feel like someone like David Gordon Green is trying to put somewhat of a prestige to these movies, like, try to class them up a little bit more. And, like, they shouldn't be. Like, they should be, like, schlock fun entertainment. Like, I would be fine to live in a world where there's a Friday the 13th or a Halloween movie, like, every year. And it's literally just, hey, watch these people get killed, because that's all we're here for. And it's like, okay, that sounds fun. Let's do that. But instead, like, they're trying to make it, A, like, way more serious than it needs to be, and just, like, not as fun to watch.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. Yeah, what's up?
Oh, I was just going to ask, has Michael Myers ever, like, staged bodies like they did in this one?
Yes.
He has? Okay. I wasn't sure.
You mean like with that, like at the carousel where he like puts them there as like a message?
Yeah, and then like he hangs the person from the thing with their mask on, and then like the couple that was living in his house, like he stations them so like one of their heads is in the other person's lap. Like I didn't know if that was something he'd done in the past or not.
Yeah, I think it's been done.
Yeah, Zach, is he an interior decorator? Michael Myers?
So, the masks that those kids are wearing, like when they're at the carousel and then they all have the masks on, those are the masks from Halloween 3.
Oh, really? So they want to include this stuff, but they just can't do...
Halloween 3 is a standalone movie. It doesn't feature Michael Myers at all.
Oh, it doesn't?
What?
No. Halloween 3 is like... So after Halloween 2... It's presumed that at the end of Halloween 2, Michael Myers is dead because they shoot him and they light him on fire in the hospital. Yeah. And so, but they made so much money that they were like, well, how can we keep this going? And then John Carpenter was like, well, we could do a series of anthology movies that just take place on a holiday. So Halloween 3 takes place on Halloween, but it has nothing to do with Michael Myers. And it was supposed to be the start of them doing this anthology like movie series that just takes place on holidays. And it just wasn't successful enough to continue.
So who's like, so who's the killer in that one?
It's like a body snatchers kind of story where it's like this evil corporation is selling these masks, and then at like 9 p.m. on Halloween night, they're gonna play this song, and the song triggers the masks, and it turns all of them into like basically like robots for this corporation.
That's such a far reach for Halloween.
So it's not Michael Myers, but it's that mask that he wears?
Not the Michael Myers mask. The three masks that the kids wear.
Oh, I don't even know what they are. It's like a green mask, I think, right?
There's like the witch mask, there's the pumpkin mask, and then there's the skeleton mask.
Gotcha. Four is where they revamp it for the Cult of Thorn.
That starts the Thorn.
Four, five, six. Seven is...
H2O. 20 years later.
Why is it H2O? Is there water involved at all?
No, it's Halloween. Movie? Technically, it's H20, 20 years later.
Halloween 20?
But people say H2O.
Yeah. And then it's Halloween Resurrection. Then it's the two Rob Zombie movies, and now it's these. So gotcha. This is like the 12th movie in this franchise.
Oh my gosh. That sounds exhausting. Like, how many different directors have there been for these movies?
I think a different one for all of them, except for these two and Rob Zombie's.
Wow.
Yeah. We're definitely getting into a horror age where there needs to be, like, a quote-unquote, like, prestige to them.
Like, we can't, like... We can't just make a fun slasher movie. Like, it has to be different. It has to be, like, self-serious, and, like, it's got to deal with themes that people are dealing with in the real world, and it's got to be about trauma, and it's got to, like, fuck off, dude. Like, let's just watch Michael Myers kill some people.
Hey, I'm with you. Because then it just gets too plot-heavy.
Which I would say this movie is not necessarily plot heavy, but it's very, like, world building heavy, that they're trying to, like, establish so much stuff.
I would say it's very heavy with, like, conversations that are very, like, calculated, like, to get across something that's relating to, like, your theme, or, as you said, building, like, a mythos or a world that you can expand upon. Like, literally every single piece of dialogue in this movie feels very calculated to, like, move it in some direction or away from another. So.
I mean, I thought the score was very good. I like John Carpenter's score.
Yeah, I love it.
As if you're going to have any other answer to that thing, though. Unless you're going to feel any differently about John Carpenter's score.
It's a great score.
It is a fantastic score.
That's probably, like, the creepiest part of the movie.
I do wish they had done something a little bit more with the opening credits. Because wasn't in Halloween they did the pumpkin inflating?
Yeah.
Did they do this one, like, the burning thing with, like, the wax?
It's on fire, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad they didn't listen to that petition to pull out the scene of them killing firefighters, because it's the best part of the movie.
I just wish there was, like, some differentiation between killing. Like, because I feel like every single death is just like, oh, we're going to sneak around the house until Michael Myers finds us, and then I'm going to die.
I mean, I liked the... where he kills that random couple, like, in the middle of... after he leaves Laurie Strode's house. And he, like, shoves that light bulb, like, through her throat. That was sick.
That was cool. That was nice. And the thumbs through the eyes.
Oh, yeah. That'll get you every time. Thumbs and eyes.
Brutal. But, like, those two deaths were really nice. They were interesting. And then when he was smashing that kid's, like, face on the banister, was really, like...
I did like the quick moment of the funny kid from the first movie that's, like, being babysat, and, like, he makes an appearance on the news report. And he's like, oh man, like, I liked her so much. She was my number one babysitter. Like, she's my girl. I liked her. And then, like,
that asshole across the street.
Yeah, that couple's like, that's that asshole kid from across the street.
I don't like that they brought these new characters in that only had one interaction with Michael Myers.
Well, that sheriff coming in was useless.
They're not new characters. Like,
oh, well, it's more of like
it's such, like, a cash in on nostalgia. That's like, hey, remember these characters from the first movie that you probably didn't watch before watching this movie? Well, they're back.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Well, it's just, like, bringing back pointless characters and then making them important. Like, that one kid that ran into Michael Myers on the street, and then the cop showed up and he was gone, and he was like, that moment is with me forever. Like, I get it, you know, like, it could be, but at the same time, you seem to have a pretty productive life up to this point so far, so it clearly, like, hasn't...
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying, like, the curse on this town, like, it feels like such bullshit, because all these people seem like they're doing perfectly fine, and, like... no one seems to be suffering that bad.
Like, I get that it was scary, but...
If you were chased, like, through your house by, like, a homicidal maniac, and, like, you witnessed, like, your babysitters being murdered, and, like, why... I don't understand why you wouldn't fucking move away from that town. Like, you know what? Let's get a fresh start somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I guess, I mean, I am still curious to see how they're going to end it, but I mean,
I'm significantly less curious after this movie.
I'm more curious as in that this just felt like obvious filler. So now it's like, I just want to get to what I've actually been waiting for this whole time.
If anyone was wondering, this movie is A Quiet Place 2, where it's like, it's clearly just there to service you getting to another point.
I had that thought exactly after your review.
It's a waste of an hour 45.
Yeah. I mean, 3.5 hours for me. I watched it twice.
I just don't understand how you could watch this once and be like, let's see what I didn't get. Honestly.
It wasn't like I wanted to like see like, because I, like, the movie ended, and I was like, I couldn't really, like, believe it. I was like, I really did not like that. And then I was like, no, like, there must be something in here that, like, I was missing that is going to make kind of things click for me. So I watched it again this morning, and it's like, nope, like, I really just don't like it.
Confirmation watch. I understand.
It's very middle of the road, which is why it's a 3 out of 5 for me. Chris.
I'm going to go 2.5.
I'm going 2.5. I also don't understand, like, the Jamie Lee Curtis hype. Like,
What do you mean? Like, her acting ability?
I don't know. Just like, well, Jamie Lee Curtis is returning to play Laurie Strode, and it's like, okay.
Well, what else do you have to mark this thing on? It's a piece of shit.
Like, why is that significant? Like,
the first one, I think it would be significant, wouldn't it? Like, in the 2018 one.
Yeah, I would agree. And they do something interesting with her in that movie. And in this movie, like, she really could not be here at all. And the movie would still take place exactly the same.
Yeah, pretty much.
Go get her, Tommy! Go get him, Tommy! End this! Evil dies tonight!
I gotta say, like, the sheriff in this movie, like, that the cool black guy that wears the cowboy hat, like, what a useless scrub that guy is.
That's what I'm saying, completely useless. This guy's got no control over anything.
Take control of your fucking town, bud. Like, you even say it in the movie, like, you are the law.
Don't feel like it. Maybe that's what the whole movie's about, how authority is illusions of control.
Might be. The only real control is pure evil. And looking at yourself in the reflection in the window.
Maybe it. Is there going to be a reflection? I'm so hot right now. All right, well, let's move on here. Did you guys watch anything else this week?
No.
I got one thing for you. I went and watched The Last Duel, directed by Ridley Scott.
I almost tried to do a double feature of that at the movie theater, but I didn't. Regrettably.
It's okay. It's okay. It's not as bad as I was expecting it to be. I really think Ridley Scott is really declining. I almost care about nothing that he makes. I think they're all boring and overlong. This one's kind of long. I think the thing that's going for this one, which I did, admittedly, I did sort of like, was, you guys know what it's about, right?
Yeah.
I have no idea what it's about.
Okay, so I can't remember the actress's name. Her name in the movie is Marguerite, I think. So anyways, so ultimately what ends up happening is Marguerite accuses Adam Driver's character of raping her. Ooh. And Matt Damon plays this woman's husband. So the story is told from three different perspectives. So you've got, like, chapter one, the point of view according to this character, Matt Damon. Then the next chapter is the same story according to Adam Driver's character. And then the last bit is according to the woman's character. And basically what they do is in each version, the way things unfold happen a little bit differently depending on who the character is. And essentially, like, each character, especially like Matt Damon's character and especially Adam Driver's character, like, each one is essentially trying to paint themselves in the best light. And then in the last account, like in the woman's account, you sort of get like what really happened. So like that, I did think that was kind of interesting, especially like when you start to notice like little subtle differences in between things and like how dialogue plays out or like the tone of a character. But yeah, so that was kind of cool. I did sort of like that aspect of it, but it is a bit long, like, since we're sort of rehashing some of the similar points just from different points of view, like some of it feels like it drags on a bit. And there is some cool fighting stuff in it. I thought there was a pretty good showdown at the end to tie it all together. But all in all, it's okay. It was okay. It was a good reason to get out of the house on Friday night, I guess.
Well, that's good. I'm happy for you.
I'm not.
How long is it?
2.5 hours.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, some of it felt long.
It feels long. Just in theory.
But hey, nothing's more uncomfortable, though, than watching rape on screen with the whole audience.
Did he?
Sick.
Yes.
In the movie it happened?
Yes.
Okay. Oof.
Well, I gave Halloween Kills a 2.5, and it's still sitting at my number 15 movie of the year. So it's a good thing we don't do a top 25.
Oh my gosh.
God, this year sucks.
Yeah, it kind of sucks.
Oh, I also added No Time to Die to this list yet. I should do that.
I thought that maybe that Halloween Kills could be on a list, but not really. Outside the top 10 for sure. Even The Last Duel was not that great. Definitely not top 10 really.
I'm just kidding. It's already in here.
This movie is getting a lot of praise, which I am shocked about. Not Halloween Kills, The Last Duel.
Yeah, as I said, I don't think Halloween Kills is getting much praise.
No, it's not. But The Last Duel is. I'm not entirely sure why. Though I will say, at one point in the movie, I thought it was going to be like a he said, she said thing. And then I was going to be like, what a really interesting choice to make this in the culture that we're in. But it's not that at all.
Well,
shit.
Let's see.
Oh, and Ben Affleck's in it. He's got blonde hair and a blonde goatee. And Matt Damon has the most ridiculous mullet.
Sounds like a great time.
He looks like a Southern hick. His like sides are somewhat shaved, and then he's rocking a mullet.
I saw the poster and I was just like, this is the weirdest design of a character I've ever seen.
Like, if you just took Matt Damon's appearance and you stripped away his like chainmail for NASCAR gear, it would still work. That look.
That's even better. I hope Dune really turns this year around.
Yeah, you and me both. I'm looking forward to it next Friday.
Thursday night showing at Spotlight.
Friday on HBO Max.
I'm going to go to the theaters. I'm making a point to go theaters. More.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go check it out in theater.
I'm not going to Bangor's theater anymore, I don't think. I've changed.
I mean, you live in Old Town, so I would expect you to go to Spotlight.
I know, but it's about, like, loyalty after a certain point. But I went to Spotlight the other day to go see No Time to Die, and I gotta say, it was a little grungy, but, like, not disgustingly grungy.
It's so grungy.
I think their ticket prices are better too.
It is. Definitely is. And you can still buy the tickets online. The only thing that sucks about it is that they don't have the lean back seats.
I think that, like, just as like a general rule, like, I don't care about seeing movies in a theater anymore.
This coming from the guy that said that most directors make their movies for the silver screen in order to get the full effect.
No, I agree that most directors do make their movies that way. I just don't care about seeing them that way.
I think a big problem comes from the, like, theaters are ultimately just run by kids. So, like, you think they give a fuck about aspect ratio? You think they give a fuck about, like, any of that masking that needs to happen to get that effect?
Well, I also think it's just, like, the scope of, like, how movies are consumed is just drastically different. Like, we're at a point now where Halloween Kills can put their movie on Peacock, a not very popular streaming service, and, like, still, like, make money from that. Like, I guaranteed for Peacock to have the rights to that, like, Blumhouse, like, looked at their budget and was like, okay, we made that movie for this much. That's how much we want for you to have this movie on your service. And they said, okay.
Yeah, like, probably.
It just seems like we're in a point now where, like, theaters need these, like, studios so that they have something to show, but the studios no longer need the theaters.
Wait, say that one more time.
Like, the theaters need studios so they can have movies to play in their theater. The studios don't need theaters anymore because they can cut out that middleman and just sell their movie to the direct market and, like, just put it on somewhere. And people will pay to watch it.
Yeah, you're right. For sure.
The thing is that they're paying less to watch it, though. So, like, there is still, it may not be as powerful as it once was, but there's still incentive to put it into theaters. Like, you can pay $20 to watch a movie for, like, five people if you really wanted to. Or you can go to the theater and five people have to pay five separate tickets. We obviously know which one is going to be more popular based on a consumer standpoint, but it's still a little bit of incentive to do it based off of what money you're making.
Well, that's a defense that, like, hey, go to the theater so that the studio can make more money. And, like, I would, for starters, I would say fuck that. Like, that's stupid. No, I don't care about the studio making more money.
I'm not arguing on the behalf of the consumer. I'm saying that, like, there are still those that enjoy going to the movie theater. I don't think that that's something that you're going to be able to get rid of. And it may be something where you have less movie theaters, but you still are going to have them. I don't think it's something that you're going to completely get rid of.
The thing is that I don't think that, like, movie theaters should become, like, more of a thing for people that enjoy movies, right?
Well, I will say that theaters, I guess, are a bigger deal. Theaters are a bigger deal out here because you can find these little theaters that are going to play a movie that you can't see anywhere else.
Yeah. Except, like, I could drive to Waterville and watch Lamb, right? Which is, like, that's my only option if I want to see that movie, like, right now. Which I've considered doing, but, like, I hate that fucking theater.
As a garbage theater.
It's uncomfortable.
And, like, I don't understand why a distributor like A24 can't sell that movie to, like, hey, you know what? We're going to make our money back. We're going to part our hands with it. All right, it's on Hulu now. Like,
but don't theaters have to pay to get the movie?
Yeah, theaters. So basically,
they pay to the rights to show it.
Yeah.
So I mean, it makes sense that, like, a theater in Bangor is not going to get some of these, like, oddball stuff. So, like, you are forced just to get the blockbuster schlock and shit that's coming out.
The only way they pay for the weird stuff is if it's basically an Academy Awards lock. Because I've seen some weird stuff go to the theater. It's just only around the time they announce, like, Best Picture nominations or stuff like that. And it's a not-so-well-known Oscar Beatty movie.
Right, like, Lamb is playing right at the main theater in Boulder. That's may not have
crazy.
It might not have, like, a 4-month runtime. It's going to be, like, you know, a couple of weeks and then it's gone. but like it's there. Or like that documentary that came out, The Rescue, which I want to see. Like, boom, playing right down the street from me. So it's like all these like smaller movies, like they are like T-Tain, like I saw it last weekend or whenever it was, like came to theater in Boulder. So I think like theaters are a bigger thing because you just got wider variety. So it's like, oh yeah, I've heard of that movie, I go check it out. And it's like way more of an outing to go like experience something you may not like you may not have expected, whereas a lot of other places it's just like, yeah, it is just like the Marvel movies or the big blockbusters. So yeah, who wants to go to a theater to see those?
What, like, how many theaters are there in Boulder?
Well, there's the main theater, and then there are like a couple like smaller ones that maybe are have like two showings of some random shit.
So you have like,
but also that I'm not interested in seeing, but like, I'm sure there's some people who are.
Like, what's the population of Boulder?
Like 300,000 people.
And there's only like three theaters?
Like I said, there's one big theater. Century Boulder is what it's called. So that's the big theater.
Must be a fucking and nice then, theater.
And then I think, yeah, it's pretty nice. And then I think there's like a smaller one that's on like the outskirts of Boulder. It might even be a different town, technically. But it's smaller. That might have like four movies playing at any one time because it's a lot smaller.
So that's like Railroad Square Cinema.
Yeah. And then there's a theater in Longmont, which is a Regal Cinemas. So they're more or less just the big blockbuster movies.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then you'll get like a random movie, but it'll be like, hey, you know, like Friday night, there's two showings of, you know, whatever. But what is really cool is all these like anniversary stuff that happens. So like, the other week, it was like, what, the 20th anniversary of Spirited Away? So that was showing in Boulder.
That's cool as shit.
Yeah, like I could have saw that in theaters. So like shit like that happens all the time. Or like I think it's the 30-year anniversary of Silence of the Lambs. So that's playing in Boulder.
The only thing I remember seeing that was like an anniversary kind of like redistribution, but I'm pretty sure it was on a national scale, is when they brought Jurassic Park back to the Bangor Mall Cinema, but I'm pretty sure they did that everywhere.
Yeah, probably a big event. But now Denver's got a ton of options. And there in Denver, there is like, it's specifically an art house theater, but they only play those kinds of movies. So like, that's where I saw Shoplifters. That's where the house that Jack built played. That's where, what the hell was that movie that we all really liked? The one where she's the singer.
Vox Lux?
Vox Lux, yeah. That's where that movie played.
Oh, wow.
I went and saw some, like, I've gone and seen other shit there, but it's like that one's specifically just an art house theater.
That's crazy. Like, I can't imagine, like, the only thing I can think of that's, like, comparable to any art house theater would be, like, the Nickelodeon down in Portland. That's 2 hours away, so it's not really accessible.
And the closest thing to you guys would be the Waterville one.
Yeah, Railroad Square Cinema. That's a non-profit, though. So, like, they can play literally whatever they want. Like, they have a Velvet Underground documentary on there right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've been to a film festival there once.
Oh, the... Fuck, what's it called? I don't know. There's what's that film, like that big film, big-ish film festival in Maine, Zach?
The Maine Film Festival?
No, Camden International Film Festival.
Oh. Well, that's a documentary festival.
Is it? I didn't know that.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Shit.
Yeah, anyway, I don't remember how we got on that topic, but... You guys got nothing else you watched? Anybody started Squid Game yet?
No. No, Alyssa started that today. I firmly believe, I'm not convinced on any of the shows that get a huge audience on Netflix anymore, because it just kind of seems like a lot of the content they're pushing out is just kind of stuff people are reaching for because they're not able to go out and make the same caliber of show they were before.
Yeah, I started watching the first two episodes last night of Squid Game just to check it out. I gotta say, it's no more violent. So what I've seen so far, it's no more violent than anything else I've seen.
Yeah. I'm just like not that interested in it. I don't know why.
It seems like
it's also weird.
Yeah, but I also feel like this is kind of like, it's kind of just feeding into like the same sort of themes that we've seen in recent years.
Well, it doesn't help that this guy wrote the script like 20 years ago and couldn't sell it until now.
Kudos to him though. Like, I'm being ahead of his time.
So I mean, like, it's kind of. I'm just hoping that it gets, because the first episode is the one that you guys, I'm sure, have all seen with like the doll who's playing Red Light, Green Light.
Yeah.
Like, so like that's the first episode. So that was just like, I kind of knew what to expect, and then I was like, okay, like this isn't that crazy, but I've heard people are like, no, it gets like crazier or whatever. So. I'm going to keep watching just to see, but I'm not convinced I'm going to see anything that shocks me or surprises me.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think I got to watch Sallow if I want that experience.
I wanted to watch that something because you watched it a while back. Who? And it's just that movie about the serial killer who kills when it rains.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Oh, Memories of Murder?
Yeah. I thought of that this week, and I was like, that's Bong Joon-ho, so.
That's a good movie.
I'm interested in it, because, like, this seems, I've seen so many articles in the past probably week that have just been like, it's crazy that people are just now getting into Korean cinema, blah, 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 blah. It's like, Parasite came out, and people all of a sudden are crazy about Korean cinema. And I'm like, all right, well. I don't know. I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
It's not. Every culture has their own different things, and it's hard for people to adjust to subtitles.
Yeah, for sure. Look, Memories of Murders is really good, and there's one, I think it's on the Criterion Channel, I think. I need to watch it before it goes out, but it's called The Cure, or just simply Cure. But it's another, like, serial killer detective thing.
That dynamic is so interesting to me, and I don't think they do enough of it.
I'm very, what's the word I want? Not ignorant, but I can't think of the word that I want. But I don't know a lot about other, like, cultures and, like, what their, like, films are, like, what people are interested in these types of cultures. But I will say that, like, when you watch, I think, an American-made movie, it is very much like bang for your buck.
Yeah.
Where it feels like there's more liberty in other shit in other countries.
Well, so, but like other countries also have like government institutions set up to fund things like that. Like that doesn't exist in America.
Yeah. Also true.
Completely privatized.
Like that movie, I think it came out last year, like Relic. Is that what it's called?
Oh, that sounds vague if I remember. What was that one?
Like the mother that has like dementia and like, they go to the house and like, take care of
her. Yes, I saw that one. Yes.
So that movie was like completely financed by like the government of New Zealand. Because the filmmakers like put in an application, they submitted their script, like, this is our plan, this is what we want to do. And they're like, yes, that's valuable to society. Here's your money, make that movie. But, like, that just like the American government would never do that.
No.
I mean, like, the great thing about it, though, is that they don't really need to. Because we have such a booming film industry in the U.S., it's not like the government needs to throw money towards making more movies if we're making X amount of movies per year.
It's not about making more movies. It's about, like, making movies that aren't the fucking same, which America has a problem with.
Yeah, I mean, there something's got to give eventually, right?
Like,
I mean, eventually.
Like, no studio, like, wants to make a movie that they know will lose money. So they only make things that are proven to be have been popular.
I mean, sure. I mean, just the only thing I really think of is, like, look at comedies, right? You don't see... Yeah, you don't see popular comedies come out anymore.
Because they suck.
Well, it's because it's the same shit.
It's the same shit because... Well, there's also the thing that, like, nobody wants to tell a joke that's going to get them in trouble. So yeah. Now it's just like, okay, there's a movie, there's the types of jokes they told. Okay, that had no backlash, copy it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I think about, like, the horror genre and, like, sure, maybe it's, like, the same kind of, like, people are dying, that's scary, blah, 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 blah. But, like, think about all the experimental horror movies that have come out in the past couple years that have been marginally successful.
But they're cheap to make.
Yeah, they are cheap to make, but people are starting to enjoy that. So I think it's just people aren't really taking those risks in other areas. Like, I will say, in my personal experience, there are people who, the most passionate people who are a fan of a specific genre are horror people. People who love horror go fucking nuts for it. People who like comedy just don't give a fuck because they just like laughing. And people who like drama, they don't know. They're not like super revolutionary people. You know what I'm saying?
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, some of these movies just sort of fit in a box and people know what they're getting when they go in. And
but also, like, any of the movies that have, quote unquote, like, been experimental or taken a chance, like, they haven't been funded by the studio machine that just keeps churning out Fast and Furious movies. Like, they're financed by people that are willing to take that chance.
Yeah, and they may not be, like, being funded by, you know, Warner Brothers or 20th Century Pictures or, you know, Columbia Pictures or whoever, you know. But I'm just saying that, like, some of those types of movies are being made. It just hasn't reached its way beyond a certain genre yet.
I think the ultimate tragedy and what's really disgusting is when you get, like, these directors that just want to do something simple. They did it all themselves. Nobody gives a shit about their movie. They make it. It's a success. And all of a sudden it's perfect. You're going to direct the next Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's like, okay, like, I'm really glad that director got, like, their payday or whatever, but then it's just like, you just got fucking bought, dude.
And I have to say kudos to those directors for selling out. Now,
who's making Eternals.
Hey, man, let them make their money.
I get it. Like, you have kids to put through college, you have bills to pay, but, like, That is the norm of, hey, you had a success. Like, you won Sundance Film of the Year. Like, you won the Best Movie Award at Sundance. Here's Spider-Man. Here's Jurassic World 4.
It's a big name.
Enjoy.
And then it's like that person tries to do something a little bit creative with Spider-Man. Then it's like, nope, 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 nope. Don't touch my Spider-Man. Just give me the Spider-Man that I like and want.
Yeah. It's these fandoms that are just like, you can't tarnish what I've been appreciating for my entire life with, like, Star Wars or any of the superhero movies or fucking if they were to reboot, like, any type of Lord of the Rings or some shit.
Dude, art by committee.
Makes no fucking sense. Like, you don't have to like something for other people to like it.
I mean, it makes perfect sense. You just create the most bland thing possible so that it doesn't matter if you're conservative or liberal or Christian or atheist or black, white. It doesn't matter. This is a completely bland thing that anybody can digest, and they're boring.
There's such hope for this, like, breaking this mold in streaming services because they're capable of making movies for cheaper. But, like, it's kind of like Zach always says, there's this weird balance where, like, directors just have too much control over their movies and they don't have somebody to reel them back in.
Martin Scorsese.
Yeah, but then you have movies where it's basically a director's name attached to a movie where the studio is, it's a studio directed movie with a name attached.
Yeah, dude, that's fucking Marvel.
That's exactly what I'm saying, though. Like, it kind of seems like you get two things. You get one or the other.
Well, I'm fine with, like, you know, Darren Aronofsky wants to finance his own movie and do something, like, completely bizarre and off the wall. Like, yeah, do it. Like, go do it. Have complete creative control over your movie. But it's like, don't be mad when people fucking hate it.
Yeah.
You knew the audience that you were making this for, right?
Yeah, like that's what I don't like, which is, like, Martin Scorsese fights for, like, complete control to make The Irishman. He's doing it at Netflix because Netflix is going to give him complete control. And then it ends up being, like, 4 hours long, and no one really wants to sit through it and watch it. And then it's, like, now you're getting mad at the audience, where it's, like, no, like, that's what you wanted. You cannot be mad at, like, you got what you wanted, but you cannot be mad at people for not liking what you wanted.
I see, but the thing is, like, I kind of understand Martin Scorsese's argument in that, because if you showed somebody four parts of a mini series that are all episodes are an hour long, it's literally the same thing, just chunked up. They would watch it all the way through. But you give somebody a 4 hour long movie and they're like, oh, that sounds exhausting.
Well, it's, but that's not Martin Scorsese's decision.
No.
How people consume things has nothing to do with him.
No, it doesn't, but, like, I could understand why that might be a frustrating thing for somebody who's pumping out a four-hour-long movie.
Don't pump out a four-hour-long movie.
It's just, do you understand, like, how that could be frustrating to somebody?
I mean, I see what is frustrating about it, but yeah, I don't think he has any right to bitch about it. Like,
no, I guess not. I guess
you've
not.
Made this thing, you've put it into the world, it's not yours anymore. Like, you now have to be fine with what people say about it.
Shit is the way it is.
Well, not when you're a curmudgeon old man. You don't gotta be content with it.
And it's like the immediate reaction, like, isn't, like, to defend your movie. It's to attack the people that don't like it.
Ultimately, you are in, like, a service industry where people either buy into your product or they don't. So be capable of handling what those people say about it.
Well, I think there's also the difference, too, where it's, like, if you actually thought your movie was, like, saying something that, like, society needed to hear, maybe. But, like, I don't think The Irishman's offering us that.
Well, no. And if his complaint was about what the movie was saying, I can understand how he might take a stance against what people are saying about it. But if people are just commenting on his artistic detail within the movie, or his style within the movie, or his runtime decision of the movie, then, like, I feel like that's just structural, and you can't really have much to say about it, considering everybody has their own opinion and is capable of doing so, I guess. I get what you're saying, Zach. I do.
Fuck. But yeah, Zach, sorry, before I had mentioned Squid Game, I think you were about to say something that you had watched.
No, I mean, I just rewatched Halloween 1 and 2, and I watched Friday the 13th Part 3. So that's about it.
You skipped 1 and 2?
No, I watched 1 and 2 in the previous weeks.
Mm. How's your Halloween viewing going? As in Spooktober.
It's fine.
Are you doing one scary movie a day?
No. I mean, I've already missed, like, a few days.
I've missed approximately 15 days. I really want to watch. I should just sit down and watch Elvira, because I bought it to watch for last Halloween, and then I missed Halloween. So I was like, I'm going to do it next year. Here it is next year, halfway through the month, and I still haven't done it.
I like it.
Life's fucked.
I meant to say something to you guys. I was scrolling through the Amazon Daily Deals a couple days ago, and I saw that they were selling the like entirety of all the Universal movies, the horror monster movies, for like $50 on Blu-ray.
Nice.
All of them?
All of them. Like there was like 50 or 60 of them or some shit like that.
There's not that many.
I don't know. It was whatever.
Why didn't you tell us?
So you didn't tell us, so now the sale's probably over and we would have to pay full price.
Probably.
But hey, I meant to tell you.
I did.
Now, I think the Universal Monster ones, at least like the big ones, are on the Criterion channel for the month of October.
I own the big ones.
I might need to get that. That Criterion password then.
Yeah, I think... Well, it also depends, I guess, on what we do want to do, because I think some of them are also on the Voodoo.
Well, I would assume we would
So you want to do, like, Dracula, the Wolfman, Creature from the Black Lagoon,
the Invisible
Frankenstein,
Man.
The Invisible Man, and what, Frankenstein?
Yeah.
The five big ones? I'm fine with that.
Sure. If we're doing it, I gotta start now, but...
They all have like 70-minute runtime, so
beautiful.
Yeah, it was all. It was a complete 30-film collection that for like $60.
You fucked us, Chris.
It's usually like 120, so that's not bad.
I would have bought it. I have Creature from the Black Lagoon. I watched it for the first time last year, but I don't have any of the other ones.
I have the legacy sets, so like it's all them separately with the movies that correspond with them.
Yeah, so that'd be cool. I think I do have Nosferatu, but that's not Universal Monsters.
Nope.
Yeah, no, I don't have any of the other ones except for Creature from the Black Lagoon. But I think they're on the Criterion channel. I gotta double check.
You can send that username and password either way.
Yeah, if they're all big on, if they're all on there, I'll send it over.
Cool.
Fucking bumming another password.
I had it before, I just lost it.
I know, and now he's got Peacock.
I bought my own Peacock subscription because I couldn't wait for you any longer.
I literally sent to you that night, you fuck.
Yeah, but you sent me at like 10 o'clock. I've already gone to bed.
So? I'm surprised you wouldn't watch it yesterday.
Me and Autumn sat down Friday night to watch it.
Yeah.
Oh my god, this guy. This fucking guy, no patience.
He sent it at 12:24 in the morning, Saturday morning. Like
it was 10:24 my time.
So I was like, she wanted to go to the theaters and see it, and I was like, a new horror movie in the theaters sounds like a nightmare. Like I don't want to see it in theaters. So we just watched it on Peacock, and I was waiting for you to send me your password, and it just didn't happen. So I was like, well, it's $5. Like I was going to pay 40 to go to the movies. I'll just pay 5 to watch it now and just cancel it before they charge me again. And
yeah,
it'll be fine.
If it makes you feel any better, Jake, I didn't actually log into your Peacock because I went to the movies to see it.
That made me feel better. Thank you.
You're welcome. Chances are I'll never use anything on Peacock anyway, so.
Okay. There's some. I feel like they add shit, but I just don't pay attention to what's added.
The only thing I might use it for is next year when they do the Olympics.
There you go. Nothing else anybody wants to talk about before we sign off here?
That's it.
So next week we're doing Dune, of course.
Yep.
Sure.
Dope. Can't wait. As always... Thanks for joining us this week. Come back next week. Listen to our review of Dune. And as always, stay safe out there. Until next time. Bye-bye.
Until next time.